Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gentle Intensity Radio with Shaheen Jedian, the magical mentor and author of Divine Prescription for Life bestseller, co-host with Chicken Soup for the Soul, 500 million bestseller, and creative collaborator of Glee Hugo and Spider-Man. On air now, as Shaheen Jedian takes you on a hot journey of spirit and heart healing, breaking through the deepest fears while unleashing your life's meaning and purpose. With his gentle intensity touch, unlock your future now with the greatest speakers as you walk out of your tight spots in life and come to fruition. Red hot takes and honest opinions on ancient wisdom for modern times with the greatest meaningful celeb show on earth. Let's welcome Shaheen Jedian and his guest today.
All right. Wow. Another exciting day. I love the fact that each time I start this show and this connection and this talk, I have such an amazing excitement to be with you. And I think I owe that to God and to the ability to be able to be the channel to bring a voice of health, wonderment, love, and the capacity to continue to live in that space so that I could share it with you. And so I want to talk a little bit about some beliefs that may be getting in the way of living an abundant life. And for a variety of people, that definition can be different. You know, for different people, it can be different. For example, for one person, being abundant could mean that they have their own schedule. They can do whatever they want in their own time. They own their own time. For another person, it could mean having, you know, working for a company that pays them well, takes care of their insurance needs, and they have, like, they feel safe and they feel good and they have vacations and they get to go on many vacations and some of those things are paid for. So if for each person, abundance is something else. You know, for another person, it's knowing that every minute, you know, God is with them, the Creator is with them, that they could have that lack, but they know it will be fulfilled any minute, you know. So for every person, it has a different meaning. And so I was just speaking to a very dear friend of mine, and she mentioned that she was watching one of the videos as I was speaking about how to give meaning to different things. And she said that she heard me say these words, and I was actually, you know, I was actually excited to hear her say it again because I thought it would be cool to share it. She said, she heard me say that, choose the highest thoughts and give the highest meaning to your situations. And I thought that's actually something that I'm going to talk about a little bit before I bring on my amazing, incredible, super friend, Walling Coffee, who has so much to share with us about the strategies towards the mindset of abundance. And what I was talking about the other day was like this, that whatever situation is in front of you, your choice really, more than anything, is to give it the highest meaning. So if you have a dream, if you have an interaction, if you have a connection with someone special, or you come into a business contact, or an event happens that doesn't make sense, it seems negative, the most important thing you can do for yourself is that to give it the highest meaning possible that you are capable of giving it. Not someone else, not what someone else thinks the meaning is, not what the world thinks, not what the movies think, but what is the meaning you decide to give it? And so the power of really believing in your intuition comes from the fact of how much do you believe in the meaning that you give to your situations, circumstances, and scenarios of your life, the movie of your life. That meaning that you decide to give it is truly your meaning, and it's yours to own. This is it, the highest thought, the highest meaning possible right now. Now, that meaning can change tomorrow, but at all costs, give it a meaning. Because when you give it a meaning, and you give it a positive, good meaning, now I say positive, good meaning because at the core of it, for those of us who believe in the essence of the Creator, we know that the Creator is good and wants to give us the ultimate good, and that we as receivers sometimes are blocked to receiving that at the highest vibration, at the highest level. I'll give you an example of that. Yesterday I woke up and I was all of a sudden very inspired, and I was in the mood for creating some poetry. And I felt like today I'm going to make like a really powerful music video. And, you know, those of you who know me, I do make some music, but my main focus is healing, meditation, and hypnosis videos and audios and CDs. So yesterday I got up with this whole new notion of I'm creating a music video today. And as I got up, I went on searched on some, I was like, I'm going to do something spontaneous. So I'm going to just go and meet up somewhere with a group of people that are doing some music and poetry. So I went to this really beautiful, creative place towards Venice Beach. This really incredible, like a house of production and music. And there was like a 11 a.m. meeting there for people who are doing poetry. So, you know, if you ever want to run into me, I might be there sometimes now. But so I go there. And I sit there, and I arrive like 45 minutes late, and they're like telling me, you know, sir, you're late, you know, and they had almost locked the doors. And I explained to them why I'm late. So this is what I was telling them. I was telling them that I was driving towards you to come to create music and poetry because I just wanted to get into that space where other people are doing that. And while I was sitting in the car, the song, the melody, and the poems began to already like literally come through me. So I had to park the car for 30 minutes. And I recorded myself creating what I wanted to create. So I didn't even, as soon as I got into the vibration of heading towards this path, I didn't even have a chance to, like, get there and then, like, channel and be with you. It was already coming through me. So I couldn't. So I thought the whole essence of it is what I was seeking. So I parked the car, and I was like, this is spontaneous. This is what I'm going to record right now. And everybody started clapping, and everybody started to feel the essence of what I was talking about, that's what it's about. It's about going towards the direction of the vibration of what you want. And the universe kind of begins to throw that your way, either through you or from an external means that can be viewed and then come inside you. Now, a lot of times people have a hard time seeing beauty in someone else. And if you don't have that yourself, people have a hard time with that. But I want to give you the most important news, the breakthrough news. And that is this. That if you see something in someone else, that they have it, you don't have it yet, the only way for you to have it is to celebrate what they have, because this is a message from the Creator that you are receiving something so powerful externally first, because perception is projection. It's outside of you. It's really you. And the only reason you're actually viewing this beautiful person or music or abundance or money or child or relationship, whatever that is because you're next. But you can't be next if you can't celebrate the person that has it right in front of you. And the reason is because that person is not really there. It's just a perception of your projection. So that person is you. That glory is you. That is God walking around you. And if you want to invite that joy into your life, you must celebrate that person. And if you feel jealous of them or if you feel lack, just realize it's okay. Notice your jealousy for a moment. And jealousy is a healthy emotion as long as you know what to do with it. And then celebrate, because you're next. That's the message. If you see it, that means you are going to have something along those vibrations next. It doesn't mean it'll be exactly like that, but you're getting into that vibration. Yours is actually even more perfect, because it's going to be uniquely tailored to you. It's going to come inside the shape of you. And so that's the beautiful message I want to leave you with today as I invite you all in coffee with us to bring us more strategy and more down-to-earth practical ways of how to connect with the mindset of money, saving, strategy, how to look at it, how to really have information that helps you really interact with money at a different level. At a level where it's practical and it's real. And so while I'm inviting her in, I do have also some people that have texted some questions. So I will ask that once I get started. I also wanted to personally ask Wong to tell us a little bit more about last time she was on the call, she told us about her story and what she went through growing up and how she achieved this space of being someone who doesn't really need to work a day in her life anymore, but she's doing it from a place of really helping people. And so today, I want, because we already have the show number one, that she already spoke so much about some of the story and the strategies, today I want her to give us more, maybe more advice and more techniques of how to get started living the kind of life that you want that leads to a kind of life where you don't have to necessarily work all the time. Is that something that we can talk about, Wally? Would that work?
Absolutely. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Can you hear me?
I'm really excited to hear
you. Okay, wonderful.
Yes. Good. So, so what I was asking was just maybe I think like a lot, I get this question a lot. A lot of people want to just literally own their own time, be able to like do things when they want to do it in their own time, in their own place, in their own way, to be, spend more time with their family, go on more vacations. Just literally own life instead of kind of be having to be
instead of life owning them.
Schedule that's just
yeah, you know.
Them. Yeah, so I thought that would be great if I can hear you tell more strategies and mindsets and practical actions on that.
Absolutely. Everything you said this morning about your relationship with things is important because it boils down to that. And what you said of the second you started moving toward your goal, all of a sudden you were inspired and it came to you. It's the same with money. Our relationship with money has an effect on what we get from money. And a lot of coaching begins there because we find that, you know, most people tend to mirror or reject how their parents were with money, their relationship with money. So if your parents were really great with money, we want to be exactly like them or exactly not like them. So if they were really great with money, we'll try to be like that, or we'll try to rebel and be the opposite of that. If they were horrible with money, we might follow in their footsteps or try to rebel and be the opposite. But I encourage people to break the chain. You are you. You're an individual, and your relationship with money is entirely in your control. So one of the things that we talk to people about is, what's your language with money? Are you saying things like, money's not important, or I don't like money, or money is evil, things like that. And it's funny, in our office, we have a thing where we say, well, if you talk to your spouse that way, would they stay with you?
Whoa.
And it's the same with money. If your conversation with money is such a negative tone, then it will leave you. And that's on a higher level of thinking. You've got to create a language, not, oh, I love money, money is that, not like that, but not rejecting it. Just understand that it is a tool that we need in order to live the life that we want. So if you look at it as just that, it is an object, but we definitely need it to do all the things you were talking about earlier, like have that freedom of time, have that great relationship with our family because we have the time to enjoy it, have enough money to do the things that we want in the time that we have. So just understanding that it is a tool that we need and respecting it in that way is the beginning point. Then how to get
like
the money.
Part.
That was what you were talking about. So I was inspired by that. But now the steps to get money is really to understand where you're at first and understand where you want to go. So what we like to do is focus on people's goals. What do they want to do in life? And we find that most men and women, they stop dreaming. And I think a few great people said this. I say Martin Luther King Jr., but I know a few other people said this as well. Most men and women die at age 25. We just don't get around to burying them till they're 65 because they lose their hopes and dreams. So by sitting down and asking people again to open up their dream machine and say, what do you want to accomplish in life? It gets them dreaming again and opens up that channel and says, okay, well, here's where I want to go. Then all of a sudden, if you focus on that, the universe will start putting together things to help you move forward in that. Doors will open to help you move forward in that. But you've got to be clear on where you're going before you can get there. So it's my thinking, and actually my mentor who told me, most people don't plan to fail in life. They just fail to plan. So if you have no idea where you want to go, no wonder you're not getting anywhere. So those are some of the things. And I know it's all the thought behind money, but that's where it begins. In the beginning, there was the word. We have our thoughts, and then we can back it up with our actions to get there. So more concrete things. Once we get that, then we can go into the concrete planning, like understanding, okay, now we go backwards and say, where are we at? Where is our money now? What are our habits around money? So first, let's start with budgeting. And it's amazing that most people nowadays do not, they don't balance their checkbooks. So, well, let's take a look at it. What's coming in? What's going out? What are our ideas behind what our money does? And the funny thing is most people think, you know, even though there are all these bills out there, they think I've got to pay these bills first. They're not thinking pay yourself first. So it's our idea that we're not as important as everything else, right? So now let's get back to the basics. Who's the most important person in your life? And now typically it's ourselves and our family. So why is it that we put ourselves last when it comes to our paycheck? So if we planned and set aside a percentage, you know, and many people say we tithe 10%. Well, they should also pay themselves 10 to 15 to 20% as well to make sure that they're building for their future and their family, because that's equally as important. Then you can take care of your bills. So I like to break it down. Like once you have your paycheck, there's a pie chart that I look at. And I teach people this when they're getting ready to buy a house as well. If you look at a pie, you know, a circle graph, a third of the pie, roughly a third, goes to taxes. Now, can we really change that? No. And you could try to fight and run from Uncle Sam, but they'll eventually catch up with you. So just allocate whatever your tax amount is. Know that that's gone. Then we should be saving 15 to 20% for savings, including our retirement funds, our emergency funds, our kids' college education, a fun fund, which allows us to travel, gifts and things that we want to do in the future. Set aside the money for those things. Then no more than a third should go to all debt. That includes our mortgage, our rent, our car notes, our student loans, our credit cards, all the fixed debt. And then if you look at the pie, all that's left is another 15 to 20% for lifestyle. And the lifestyle is how we live. That's the eating. That's the utilities. That's the entertainment. That's the paying for your kids' school. Those are the things in order for us to live the day-to-day. Gas for our car. The other bills. So if we want a better lifestyle, the shopping, the travel, the all of that fun stuff, right now it's only allocated by 15 to 20%. So if we want a better lifestyle, I ask people, which piece of the pie should you reduce in order to increase that lifestyle quadrant? Now, most people looking at it will tell us easily the debt. But yet most people eliminate or limit their savings in order to get there. So what I like to do so that they can understand, because they say it makes sense to do the debt when they see it on paper. But what we do naturally is eliminate the savings. So I have them write down a T-chart, and I say on the left side, we're going to put what we need to spend money on, and on the right side, we're going to put what we want to spend money on. So it's needs versus wants. And by identifying what's most important, it's easy to see where we should cut back. It doesn't mean we have to limit ourselves in life altogether. It just means, shouldn't we take care of the needs before the wants? And then even further, like I'll ask questions, what's more important to you? Shopping or your kids' college education? Like shopping for shoes or your kids' college education? They say, well, you'd be shopping. I mean, not shopping, their college education. Then I say, what's more important? Because I say prioritize. Once you put the needs and the wants out there, start prioritizing. Then for the wants, okay, well, we want to be able to buy gifts for Christmas. Is that more important than their future college education? Typically, they'll say no. Then I'll say, and what's more important, cable or that education? So they start prioritizing, and they find that certain things move up in priority. So then I say, when you're in a time of need and you don't have enough income to support all of these expenses, then just cut out the lower level wants so that you can still afford the things you need and a lot of things you want, but you just eliminated some for a temporary time. because our income is only temporary. Typically, our income will increase over time. So when we're not making the amount that we want to live the grand lifestyle that we want, let's just eliminate the lower level want, and we can still get all the things we need and a lot of things we want. So people find they can exist in that. Exactly. They can exist in that, and they don't feel like they're left destitute or not being able to do the things that they enjoy.
So it's like,
because we still allow for that in the budget.
Navigate through it.
Exactly. And they choose it. I never tell somebody what they should do. I'll guide them to choose it for themselves. Now, I will tell you what I would do in the situation, but it's ultimately their choice. Whatever they choose will lead down a certain path. But they are empowered to choose now that they understand where that path leads. So that's the philosophy when it comes to just understanding our budget and cash flow. What can we do to get to a place that we really know will benefit us? So once they get that in order, they realize, is savings a need or a want? Now, most oftentimes people will say, well, that's a need, because now they want to achieve the things in their life and they need to save to get there. Is your retirement more important than manicures and pedicures every month? And you know, it's funny, I have a client, and I won't disclose who they are, but, you know, I can just give case scenarios. I have a client that is on TV. They're a newscaster for a very popular station. And so typically on the news, you are, they show you from the waist up, and we talked about the budget, and she wanted to make sure her kids could go to private school, which is very costly. So she was trying to cut back on the budget. She said, well, you know, my appearance is important, so I have to get manicures and pedicures. And I said, hold on a second. Well, they're shooting you from the waist up, so do you really need to get the pedicures, or can you just get away with the manicures? I just asked
That's
the fun. Question. Later, when I did a review, she said, you know what? I started painting my own toenails because she cut that budget so that she could afford other things.
Right,
but
that
was her choice.
For her.
That worked for her. It was her choice. I just posed the question, and I asked if her kids were more important than that, and she said, absolutely. She would do anything for them. So when we say things like that, we have to understand what our priorities are, and then it all becomes clear where we should spend the money and where we should save the money.
I like that.
So
there's a hierarchy.
That's just one of the, yeah.
And so now what about, can you talk a little bit about the relationship people might be having with money? Like, for example, I know some people, as they're about to spend money or receive money, they have anxiety about that, you know, or they like certain feelings that's going on inside. And what techniques or thought frames have you used that can help make a person more comfortable with, you know, spending or receiving?
Well, you know, knowledge is power, right? We feel once we understand something that we are more powerful in that area. And you're absolutely right that money is not just an object to people. It is an emotional thing, not because it has emotions, but because of our reaction to it and our limitations in life, and that we fear what we don't understand. So I find that once we teach people and empower them about what money can do for them and how they can control it, then they feel more powerful, and the fear starts to dissipate. So they start to feel more in control of where they're going, and when they feel they're on track with getting to that goal, they feel more confident, more empowered, more positive about their relationship with money. You'd be surprised how many people just lost hope, and that hopelessness feeling is what was dictating their relationship with money. But by giving them hope again and showing them that it is possible to get to their dream, it brings that back. And all of a sudden the confidence level increases, and they go through life a little more excited, or a lot more excited is from what I hear from my clients. And they have more pep, they have more vibrance and energy. And now they're saying, okay, I know where I'm going in life. I know how to get there. I know what to do. Then it's no longer that scared relationship of the unknown and that money controls them. Because when we wake up in the morning, if we're waking up just to go to work to make that money, it's controlling us.
Yeah. That's a great insight.
So, yeah.
Yeah. if you're just waking up to go to work, it's controlling us. Because, yeah,
you're if you wake up to go do what you enjoy, exactly.
One of the things that I've been incorporating into my own lifestyle is I don't call it work. I call it play. So, for example, even when I name files, you know, like when I name something, instead of calling, let's say, a folder, work folder, I call it, like, something play. And then I've noticed it puts me in a playful mode. I'm more creative. And I put in a different space in my brain, so it becomes more of a fun experience instead of an obligation. What are your thoughts on that, and how do you, like, deal with that?
Oh, that's really fun. I think people should learn to love what they do or find something that they love to do for a career. And that makes their life fun and exciting, and they get excited to do what they're intended to do. Focus on what they enjoy. For me personally, I love helping people, so I gravitate towards something that's going to make a difference. For most people, find out those key things that they liked about all the jobs that they've had. And one of the things I do, I like to coach people on finding the right thing for them and how to make additional income. So I'll ask them the questions: what do you like most about your career? What do you least like? Do you see yourself doing it for the next 5 to 10 years? And if they don't, then let's focus on what you like. Let's see if we can find a position that fits your soul so that you can enjoy the next, you know, 20, 30 years, however long they think they're going to be in the workforce. You don't want to just go to work to make money. Go to work to contribute.
I love that.
And then the money is just a byproduct.
How did you what you do is for you?
I think everybody has their journey, and at the beginning, most people, you can't judge something from the beginning because they're always going to go through those hard times, that learning curve where it's not working out, it's not perfect. But if you're committed to the end result and what you could do for people, then you can find your right path. And I think once you're on your right path and fulfilling your purpose, doors start opening up, and that's when success happens because you enjoy it, you're good at it because you enjoy it. You spend time on it, not just I clock in, I clock out, but you really enjoy it. So you make that extra effort and you contribute. Then you know you're in the right place.
So it's that,
and that's what works for me. Yeah, for me it's more of a contribution than just clocking in, clocking out. I think many people get stuck in a rut where they're just clocking in, clocking out.
How should they get out of this? If they're already stuck, if someone's already stuck, let's say they're in some kind of a 9-to-5 job, or they're in a situation they've started a business, but they're just not passionate, or it's not going well, but they still have to pay their bills. So they're kind of like at that age where they have to keep going, you know, in order to maintain, mm-hmm. but that doesn't leave them any energy to be able to start something new or even look into something. What are your recommendations in that area? Because I find a lot of people are living in that space, at that edge where they're just squeezed to continue, but they're becoming more and more less passionate every day about it.
And they're living that quiet life of desperation, living paycheck to paycheck. I see it. Well, first of all, they have to know what they want, and they have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. Because that's the only time somebody's ready to change. Change is not easy for people. But when they accept that they need to change what they're doing to change what they're getting, then all of a sudden doors start opening. It's when we're willing to change, because the doors are there. They just never went to them. But if the second they decide they're ready for the change, then doors start opening. But most people, let's be honest, change is scary, change is hard. They're so comfortable with who they've been and who they're being that they don't want to make that shift because it's scary and unknown. But it's not until we grow and develop and change that we'll start getting different results in our life. So I have a conversation with people about that. Are you ready for change? Are you willing to give up this life for a chance at a better life? And it's not going to be easy because change is not easy for people. But then the change begins when you decide that you want it, like you were saying. when you wanted to have that musical inspiration, you were going, you changed your mindset and you changed your location and it came to you.
Yeah.
Same with our careers, same with our life. I've seen people time and time again just say, you know what, I'm ready for something different. And all of a sudden they get a promotion or a new career opens up for them and they leave that job and go to another better job for them. And then their family's happier. They're in a career that they're thriving in, but because they were willing to develop themselves. Don't expect the boss to just come one day and say, okay, now you get this. No, they change themselves to get the different results.
Mm. I love what you're saying. I want to reinforce that. So what you're saying is, I mean, I want to add to this. Basically, when you get into that mindset where you really can have that conviction and you're really, really, really sick and tired of being sick and tired, like you said, you hit the edge, you hit that low down bottom line, you know, there's a space where when you make that final decision that, yes, this can't work, I need to make a new decision, a new passion I'm going towards, something opens up, you know, like a bridge appears, literally, I always say, like, a bridge appears when you need it, when you take that first step, you know. And I think that's the hardest thing for people because they don't see that bridge at the beginning, you know. Like, where is it? How am I going to do it? If I take that step, what's going to happen? What if nothing happens? What if the bridge doesn't appear, right? What if I jump into the ocean and the sea doesn't split for me, you know? And I think that that's what makes it so difficult because the person is inside that reality of that closed, limited reality, and they can't see anything else. But what Walling is saying and teaching is that when you make that decision, something does open up, and it's really a gift from God, really, that opening. You know, it's not something you're producing. You're producing the effort. So just knowing that we're producing the effort, and that the actual next stage, the new frontier that opens up, is outside of your cave that you haven't been out of yet. That it's a gift from the Creator. That by itself is so relieving because now you won't be caught up with your perfectionism of, I have to do it all. No, you don't have to do it all. You just have to take those steps, go towards it, have that conviction, realize the pain of being sick and tired and sick and tired, and just kind of like let yourself have that goodness. And then there's a gift that appears. Yeah.
There's a saying that says, a 1,000-mile journey begins with the first step.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and it's just what you were saying. You don't have to do it all right now. Just take the first step.
And so...
And then
yeah,
the next. And then the next.
That's beautiful. I love that. Do you recommend journaling or writing down ideas about money? What's your thing with money in terms of writing?
Well, it's... And that's the coaching part of... development. I think for money, I haven't coached people to write down things about money except for charting out where they want to go. And it's really dreaming about where they want to go. So that's not the numbers. It's really the vision. In my office, my agents, we do this a lot. And sometimes I'll encourage a client to do it, to do vision boards about what they want their life to look like in pictures, because our brains operate in different ways. And we like to see things visually, many of us. So by creating a vision board and having a clear idea of the house that you want to live in, the life, the vacations, the life that you want for your kids, the contribution you want to make to your community, by having visual images of that and staying focused on your ultimate goal, you're more likely to do the day-to-day things to help you get there. And then you're more likely to receive them. So that is a visual journal of where you're going. So I encourage people to do that a lot. And when I meet people who are really stuck, I have them go back to the drawing board and visualize and start creating that dream. And I find that that helps them tremendously. The visual pictures for some people, because some people are really great at journaling and they can do that, but a lot of people, they're not used to it. It's something different for them, but they do get excited about pictures. So I'll just say, cut out a few pictures. You know, keep them with you. Put them in your cell phone. Put them on your mirror. Create a little board and put a bunch of pictures up of everything that you like and want. And they get excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
and their family can get involved, the kids get involved, they put a couple things that they want, and then the family can move together and have similar goals, husband and wife. I find it brings people together when they start talking about where they want to go, what their vision is, their dream together, especially marriages that have been, they've been together for so long and they forgot to talk about where they're going, or they it gets lost through the years.
Wow, that's powerful. That could bring
up... and it's funny.
Go ahead.
The relationship with money is like coaching, life coaching, which is phenomenal that you get to help people and guide them financially to achieve their life goals.
So, if someone were to, like, want to get together with you and spend some time with you, what's the typical thing that would happen in your office, in your place? What would they experience? What would be the process? How could they reach you? And more importantly, tell me, I know you had said you would offer a gift session of a get acquainted session where you'll give them some strategies as a gift until they get more familiar with what you do. Well, can you tell me a little bit about all those information?
Absolutely. So they just reach out to me, either the phone number that was left there or the email, and then we'd set up a time to get together face-to-face because I like to look at people and get to know them. And then I'd ask a lot of questions about what they want in life. We'll go over the dream building, the vision, and then figure out where they're at now, and then go over some concepts that apply to them, then help them go from here to here. So we map out a plan. So I'd sit down with them a couple of times, first to get to know them, then to go back, do some homework, figure out what some good solutions are, then come back and go over and collaborate with them on potential solutions to get to their goals. So I help them navigate, but they are the captain of their ship. Only they can decide which route is right for them.
Okay. And what if someone can't come? Because I know your office is in, what's the location of the town that you're currently...
My office is in Brea, but oftentimes I meet people either at their home or somewhere in between if it's extremely far. I also have some out-of-state clients that I deal with because I travel a lot. Sometimes I'll meet with them, but sometimes we'll, because they're referred to me from somebody else, we'll connect through a video chat or something like that.
Okay.
So
you could
I try
do a
to
video
help
chat
everybody
chat
that I can.
Okay, so there's definitely ways to meet you virtually with Skype chat, video chat, FaceTime. Over a variety of ways. Okay.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Can you tell us, because we're coming to the last final minutes of the show, can you tell us the information also so everyone can hear it? It's posted on the blog, but it would be great if you could tell us. So if someone's listening, they can write it down right now. So how can
my
they
office
reach
phone
you
number is nine. My office phone number is 909-393-3210. And my email address is hcoffee, which is coffee like the drink, but C-O-F as in Frank, F as in Frank, E-Y, then W-F-G at gmail.com.
Okay.
So hcoffee,
okay, so,
W-F-G at gmail.com.
So, you know, if you're listening to this right now or the replay, first of all, I recommend listening to it again. I recommend connecting with Walling if you want to build new strategies, if you want to be shown a way to live the kind of life that you want in terms of, like, really creating, really finding out where you are and where you're going, like she said. If you have fears that you don't deserve good things, you know, sometimes just the visualizations and the sitting together with her can really help you break through with that. Sometimes people just feel unworthy of it, or you feel like, you apply all this effort and it hasn't worked, so you've given up. Or you're trying to control an outcome and it just hasn't come out for you, or there's struggle because you're afraid of the success or abundance that you could have. I once had a lady that said to me, I'm afraid to be very successful and to look really good, because if I do, I'm going to lose my husband. And I thought that was really interesting, right? So there's all kinds of different things going on inside a person, you know. So whatever those elements are, bottom line is at a practical level, If you sit down with an expert like Walling, you can begin to kind of break through and vision together. And it always helps to have someone with you helping, let alone an expert, which is going to really be helpful. So I highly recommend that. I recommend connecting and really having that breakthrough. You have nothing to lose because Walling is offering a wonderful thank you, by the way, for the gift session that you're offering for people to get to know themselves. And then she has a variety of programs that you can that she could recommend to you as a resource. So once again, today I'm very grateful to have Walling with us on the show. Thank you so much, Walling, for being here.
Absolutely.
Thank you, of course. It's an exciting day, and I highly recommend everyone take advantage of this. I'm going to spend the next few minutes doing a short meditation for money beliefs. It's like a meditation and a prayer together. So stay with me. Stay tuned. Okay. Let's begin. So this is a universal divine source prayer for money and abundance. And I take this time to open myself and my life to your abundance. This is our connection with God. You can say the abundance that flows freely through this honorable universe, the abundance that is for many, not just for the few, the abundance that is your birthright, my birthright, this divine being on the path towards enlightenment. Help me to learn that money is not separate from you, Creator, but it is part of you, as I am part of you and you are part of me. Help me to learn that money is an integral part of my spiritual lesson learning. Help me to learn that money is not mine to control. Teach me to begin to change my attitude towards money. Teach me to see money as energy that can be transformed into love, so that each dollar I send out into the world flows from me on a current of love and light. So that each dollar I send out into the world can touch another person with love. As I go forth each day, help me to open my heart and my mind to the possibility that I truly can change my concept of money from the negative ideas I have about it into the concept that money is beauty, love, and passion, and that it can move around in a form of energy. For this and all the abundance you bring into my life and each and every day, I'm deeply grateful. So be it. And so my recommendation is now to make a list of 10 things you're grateful for, because that by itself activates the positive things that you do have. It's so simple, but it really works. And it begins to attract more of that. And enjoy the gifts and the gift session with Walling Coffee. And more importantly, remember to just appreciate your moments, because this moment creates your next moment, and this moment will never come back again. So enjoy this moment right now. God bless, and see you guys at the 1 p.m. show today with Mahkiran. Good day.